Thanks for downloading the 28th in our series of episodes of the C-Suite podcast that we're recording in partnership with the European PR agency Taito and their own Without Borders podcast, where we are interviewing leaders of unicorn companies to find out about the key issues, pain points and challenges that startups face and how they can address them with a strategic approach to marketing and communications. My name is Russell Goldsmith. My co-host for this episode is Taito's senior partner, Holly Justice. And today we are thrilled to be joined by Romain Moulon, co-founder and CEO of the global robotics company Exotech. Founded in 2015, the company has since secured $477 million in funding, reaching unicorn status in January 2022 with a valuation of $2 billion. Welcome to the show, Romain. Can we start by you giving us a bit of background to the company and also just maybe talk about the area of business that you are seeking to disrupt?
Thank you for taking the time of hosting me. So what we do in Exotech is robotics for warehouses. You have to understand that if you place an order online to an e-commerce player, you have people wandering on the warehouse to find the article you have ordered, to put them in the sandbox and to send them to you. And in fact, this is a difficult job. You could do 15 kilometers per day doing that. And you really need an army of people in the warehouse to do this job. So what we propose to our customer is a robotic system based on a fleet of 3D mobile robots, which are able to evolve everywhere in the warehouse, but also up to the ceiling. And by doing so, the robots are bringing the articles to the operator, and the operator can really prepare your order very fast, multiply by five, it will go five times faster. And you can also store your article in a very dense manner up to the ceiling of the warehouse and really fill your warehouse with your articles. So storage and speed are really what we bring to our customers. And we bring this with a lot of flexibility because, in fact, if you discuss with an e-commerce player, they don't know what they do in 3 or 4 years. So you need to give them a system that they can modify. And if they do 20% more order, we come back, we add 20% more robots. So having the best of performance and the best of flexibility within the distribution center, that's really our job.
And Romain, tell us a little bit about your personal entrepreneurial journey. I think if I understand it correctly, Exotech is the first company you founded, but you've got a kind of a long history and experience in the robotics area. What's it been like this time around founding a company?
You're perfectly right, Holly. Exotech was the first company we founded with Renault. We are two founders. We had the same kind of career. We started our career as engineers in an AGV company. AGV are automated forklift. It's moving pallet in the warehouse. Same kind of robotic system, but for pallets and not single articles. And then we moved to GE Healthcare. GE Healthcare, they are doing medical imager, X-ray imager. And to understand how we built Exotech, you need these two pieces of our career, because one piece is logistic, our first job. That's where we learned what's going inside the warehouses. But the General Electric part is also super important because they were already developing advanced robotics and product that they would send all over the world. So we have built a company based on these two experiences and by our willingness to try to bring something new and bring something disruptive to logistics.
I mentioned in my intro how much funding you've raised in total so far. The most recent of that, the Series D funding earlier this year, was at $335 million. So impressive numbers. What I was keen to find out was, in terms of where that money now is going to be used with the company, how are you investing in that? You know, what's the plans maybe for the next 12 months or so, but also in terms of the development of Exotech?
We now are on a huge market. It's a $30 billion, at least maybe even $50 billion dollar market with only a few players. And we really want to take Exotech into being a major player of this field. Our competitors are 6 or 7. They do from $1 billion to $3 billion revenue. This year we'll do $180 million. So we must take Exotech within this big player doing robotics instead of traditional automation. That's the way. To do that, we have two axes on which we must build. The R&D. We need the different building blocks to be able to deploy fully robotized warehouse. I talked about the SkyPod system with this 3D robot, which is in the center of the warehouse. But the warehouse, it's nothing more than a big factory, which is processing orders from the truck which are unloading to the truck which are loading. So we'll build the different bricks to be able to have this value proposal to our customer. So a very technological and R&D expenses, I would say. And on the other side, it's really about building our footprint on our different territories. Right now, we have system in France, in Belgium, in Netherlands, in Italy, a bit all over Europe, in Japan, in the US, in Canada. But it's been 5 years that we are selling in Europe. It's been only 2 years we are selling in Japan and US. So these countries are still, there's still a lot of revenue to be made in this country. So we will accelerate very strongly on marketing and sales on these different territories.
And just coming back to the topic of leadership for a minute, are there any individuals that have had a huge impact in your development as a leader? And if so, who are they and why?
I think there are two kinds of individuals, one which are more personal. Usually my different manager or boss in the different companies have really brought me a lot. I could talk about my first boss and my first manager in this BAE Systems first company. What I learned from them is that doing business in what we do, it's a B2B business. It's really about trust and about the confidence that you build to your end customer. Because this system, they are $2 million for the smallest one to $30 million system. And for a customer to place to you a $30 million purchase order, you need to have built a very strong trust. So you cannot bullshit, you cannot fake, you cannot lie. You must be super rigorous in what you say and give clear answer to their question. And in fact, I was happy because I was out of school, discovering the world of business, and I was expecting maybe to be disappointed, and I was not disappointed at all. And I saw that by being really right and clear, you can really build a big business. And the other people I was inspired from before building Exotech, I learned a lot about some key leader, Jeff Bezos or people like that. So quite traditional stuff. But what we saw and we learned from this, usually business books or stuff like that, is that the culture of the company is super important. We had that feeling also from our former company, but we saw that great businesses were built upon great cultures. And we have spent a tremendous amount of time building that culture and ensuring that the culture would be respected. Because when comes the storms, you are more than happy to have a culture. It's not more about processes or product. That's really about how your people are working. And so far, it went very well at Exotech.
And I guess to build that culture and culture of trust internally and externally, you need to have some exceptional skills as a leader. What do you think are your main strengths when it comes to leadership skills? And then maybe what are some of them that you've got that you've built as part of the wider Exotech management team?
I would not say that I have exceptional strength, but I can tell you what is the culture of the manager at Exotech and I'm using that every day. We want people to be simple, low ego people, which I can take the example of our sales director that we hired just a few years after Exotech. That guy was from our business. He was 55 and he has seen everything and he knows he's a kind of legend and we had a chance of catching that guy. But yet he had the humility to understand what we were doing differently and how we could bring to the business and having people which are able to keep this humility and listening what the other have to say is super important on the C-level. And that's, we take extreme care bringing C-level, which have this spirit of they know what they do, they know what they say, but at some point when they don't know, they just listen and they build on that. I think you can really destroy quite fast the ambience of a company if you bring someone which would have something to prove and that would not be simple. Simple, it might be the best way to sum it up. And we try to have also an extreme rigor everywhere in the company, meaning in Exotech, we say almost passes fail. It means if you have delivered something to your customer, you need to test it and all of your test plan condition must be pass. If one of your test plan condition is fail, then your test is fail, full test is fail. So the joke is that if I ask to someone how is going your test and he tells me it's almost passed, I will answer by definition it's fail. And it's extremely important to have such rigor because our systems are critical to all of our customers. And as I said, when you want to build confidence, you need to be super clean and super rigorous on what you deliver. So we have spent a lot of time developing this this mindset in the company. And as a leader, you need to be exactly like that. if you do to people almost passive fail and you are just approximating what you say, then you have a problem.
That actually leads quite nicely onto an area that we're keen to focus on, which is culture. I'll come back to that in a second, because the other topic that we look at is communications as well. And what I was keen to find out, first of all, was, you know, when you came through that milestone of becoming a unicorn, did that change the perception of the company in any way at all?
That's a very interesting question. So at first with Renaud, the co-founder, we were telling us being a unicorn is not a target. And we want people in Exotech to understand that what they must do is take purchase order and execute them perfectly. So we did not have plans to make a lot of advertising around it, I would say. But we saw, in fact, that people were super happy to have this recognition of the market. And this is a status that your employees are extremely proud of. So, of course, we built on that. What it changes on the market, and on the market was very visible, we were the 25th unicorn of France. And that was sticking to a plan made by the government to have 25 unicorns in a certain amount of time. So it made us a lot of advertising because Macron just talked about us because we were the 25th. And we are also an industrial unicorn. We are the first industrial unicorn in France. So it made a big noise on the market, also in Europe. And having Goldman Sachs within the investor also made a big reputation in the US. So in terms of awareness of the brand, that's what was the biggest change. It created a lot of communication on the different medias and a lot of awareness of Exotech worldwide.
And what about in terms of differentiating yourself in, you know, within the industry and your communications? How are you achieving that?
We tend to call us doing warehouse robotics instead of warehouse automation. And what I said about our ability to deliver flexible system, to deliver them fast, it's really, for us, a key differentiator. Of course, we have some technological differentiator. We are the only one to have these robots which move on the ground and then climb in three dimensions on the rack. But this will amuse your customer for a while, but in the end, he wants to know if the orders are in the truck at the right time. And if he can change his logistic needs tomorrow and have a system which is still responding. So we build a lot our differentiation on this aspect of flexibility.
Just out of interest, though, in terms of like the communication channels that you use, is there anything that, you know, specific that you focus on at all?
As I said, we are quite a very B2B business. So on specific medias, you know, if you hit the right media, you know that at least half of the supply chain manager are reading it. So you can really spend your energy on a few media, very professional and specific medias. And then I would say the big channel for us is also LinkedIn, which is seen a lot by the different customer. I'm talking to you a lot about our B2B communication, meaning the communication for the customers. We have also an employer communication because hiring is key for us. And then, of course, on hiring, you can go on broader media, Instagram or things like that.
And just coming back to, I mean, you were talking about the C-level people that you're bringing in and how you're, you know, communicating internally, which we'll focus on in a second as well. But the other side that we're keen to look at is that culture within the business. You know, how have you nurtured that? How would you describe the culture within your company?
The culture of Exotech, I would say we have two brains. One side of our brains would be the quite typical software startup mindset, which is going fast, delivering things to the market, and then seeing what happens. You can do that in software. You need a piece of that in your brain. But if you have just that brain, it will not work for a company like us because we deliver also hardware to the site. If you deliver hardware, it means you have an install base and you cannot update it. So you need on the other side of your brain a perfect execution. And everything I was talking about, this almost passive fail, you need an industrial quality grade to be able to deliver this robot on the field that will last for at least 10 years. So you need to go fast. You need to be agile. This is one side of your brain, but you need extreme quality on what you deliver. And playing with these both aspects of our job is probably the biggest aspect and challenge of the culture. Because if you are just focused on industrial quality grade, you slow down. If you are just focused on innovation and going as fast as possible, you create a debt on your install base, and at some point you create dramas on your customer. So you need to go fast with extreme quality and balance, because of course sometimes both are contradictory. So extreme quality first, but then going fast.
And as we record this podcast, there's a lot of economic uncertainty around at the moment. How do you, or how are you planning to adjust your communications approach to maintain the huge confidence that you've built up in Exotech?
Right now, I should say first that I don't see our field slowing down. I know that everybody is feeling the crisis, and we have some impact, for instance, on the price of raw material. We have some price of some availability of components, so we have to redesign to get around this unavailability. We had no shortages so far, but I still see a very good confidence in our customer willingness to invest, because in fact, one driver of the willingness to invest in our system is a labor shortage. People, they don't find the people to do the job in their DCs. I told you it requires an army usually, and it's a difficult job. So it could be in Europe, it could be in Japan, it could be in the US. I'm hearing the same story. They don't have the availability of the workforce to do the job. So they know that even if some downside in the economics happens, they will still have their problems. So the transformation of their supply chain, which is happening, is not slowing down. And so far, Exotech, I hope it will last, but we are keeping the same speed on the market, and we have very good future in front of us.
And can you share any approaches that you guys have taken to internal communications that have worked really well for the business?
I'm used to say that I'm a lazy guy, so I show the same slide to my investor, I show the same slide to the customer, and so the same slide to the employees. So every month, we have, in fact, meetings which are happening one after the other, the C-level meeting, where everybody reports what's happening. We compile that into the board meeting so that we share approximately the same stuff as we were telling the day before with the investor. And one day after, we compile that into the whole employee meeting, and we explain the employee where we are, where we are going. So transparency is also very important in that company. Of course, transparency was obvious when you are 20 people or 30 people. We are now more than 400. Keeping this transparency, once again, allow you to go much faster, because everybody understands where you are going. And as your complexity and your department grows, if they know why you do that and why you are going in that direction, avoid to put processes everywhere, because people, they understand what they're doing for the end customer. At the end, you just need an end customer which is satisfied. So I think this transparency in the internal communication has saved us a lot of time and dramas.
How involved have you been? Like you say, you've grown from 20 to 400. How involved were you in that recruitment process? And do you get to meet the new, you know, starters at any point?
Until 50 people, I think Renaud and I had seen everybody. And we made the most important, maybe, hiring of Exotech when we hired Jules Briatta, which is the HR manager. At that time, he was a headhunter. But by the moment we took that guy, and we took it quite soon in the company, he created a war machine in terms of hiring and onboarding and then training. And without that, we would still be probably 200 people and probably late on all deployment of the project. So yes, HR and the ability to hire and to get people on board was most of the most important function. And you cannot do it yourself, for sure. Past 50 people, it does not work anymore.
But do you still try and get to speak to them, even if it's as a group, you know, for the new starters?
Yeah, so I see everybody in a training session. So when they come, every 2 weeks, I take the newcomers and I take two hours with them, explaining who we are, what we do, the culture we were talking about, all these key aspects, which is extremely valuable. And we had feedback that the employees, they love it.
So that's on the internal communication side. What about external? You know, how do you view your role as a spokesperson for the company? However long you've been doing that, have you learned anything in particular, you know, along the way?
I must say that I learned that I'm lucky, because what I say about transparency, it also works externally. So I managed to be the same guy inside the company, outside the company, and to have the same stories to everybody, which makes my life much more easy. And I think I would be not very confident if I had to say another story outside than inside. But what I love more than anything is talking to my end customer. And really, what I was saying about building trust, I'm more personal communicator than a broadcast communicator. And it's super important for me to be very close to the customer, to build. I'm still selling the big projects because that's how I build an understanding of the market, of what they need. And with Renault and the other, we discuss on what we should put in the roadmap to bring them more value. So that's really this personal communication. That's what I love more than anything.
That kind of personal approach is really valuable, though, because even if you're talking to, you know, a room of thousands or hundreds of people, if you lose sight of who you're trying to communicate with, you lose the audience, don't you? So I'm sure it comes in very, very helpfully. Have you always been a natural communicator, or is it something you've had to work towards or formulate a plan to be better at?
I have to remind who I was when I was in school. I was at ease with communication. Probably I was not that a good communicator. And it's within my personal relations and my... Well, I would not be as good as explaining you who we are and what we do if I was 20. That's thanks to my experiences from 20 to 40 that I understood at least what people in front of me wanted to say, and also to listen to people. I think it's super important. You could say that when you are salespeople in our job, 90% of your job should be to listen to the customer and 10% to sell your stuff, and not the opposite. And that's super important. And it was very well in personal relations also. So I would say that's what I learned from 20 to 40, which has been confirmed in my everyday life.
Just out of interest, in terms of that external communication, I mean, obviously we are having this conversation in English, which is not your first language. What's the language that you use within the company and yeah, for internal communications? And have you been comfortable in communicating in different languages during your time?
Yeah, hopefully. In General Electric, it was obvious. The Esperanto of General Electric was English, and everybody was talking English at General Electric. And we discovered it really here, because our first company was more local, I would say. But in GE, you saw that anything you write is in English. And you can even see sometimes people, they are... Everybody would be French in the same room and start to speak English. And it takes them 10 minutes to realize that there is no English in the room. Everybody can speak French, which is a good sign. And when we built that company, it was super important for us not to build a local company. So from the scratch, everything in Exotech was written in English. And sometimes people at the very beginning would wonder why. But after 3 years, when we had started to work with the Italian, I think maybe it was the first people we worked with, it was extremely useful, of course. And you get all your documentation, which is already ready. And I think a second switch has happened. Probably it was 1 year ago. Each morning, we are doing a stand-up at 9, and we take just 5 minutes to explain to the company what different department is doing today, or what are the news from different departments. And that thing was in French until last year. And in fact, we switched to English very naturally, because now half of the company is not talking French. So, but it's important to put English very soon in the company and not to create a depth of things in local language. We have also very different, it has been a question, because we have some people in the company which are not talking very well English, but well, you need to have everybody on board, so English is the only language.
And for you, what has been your biggest communications challenge that you've faced personally in the journey, and how did you overcome it?
I think that this switch from talking to listening was the biggest challenge. When you are not confident, you want to prove something, and you talk too much. and yeah, you are just trying to prove something. And I could even say that this advice has been given to me by a friend during a party. And she told me, stop to talk, listen, which I used a lot in that party, but also after in my business. And that might be one of the biggest challenges. And to come there, you need to have confidence in what you say and what you do, and not being able to prove everything and just stop and listen.
Roman, we really appreciate the time you've given us. We've got one final question for you, which we've asked all our unicorn leaders, and that's, if you were to go back in time and speak to your old self, what guidance would you give to yourself when it comes to communications?
Ah, that's exactly what I was saying before, this stuff about listening and talking. Well, I think that stuff, I learned it when I was around 35. Don't talk and listen, and it could have been very helpful from my very early days. So at 18, I could have already used it. So yeah, listen and don't talk too much.
Perfect. Roman Moulon, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and speak with us today. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Holly, thoughts on what Roman had to say?
Oh, what a great chat. And it's
nice
just
guy.
Such a likeable guy that I think as a leader, you can't help but fall under his spell, I suppose. The thing that I think I'll take away from that discussion, it's the pass-fail test that he was talking about quite early on in our chat. And they've clearly applied the same kind of like scientific rigor that they've put into the product and the robotics element that they've developed into their communications approach and making sure everything is kind of transparent and thoughtful and purposeful. And I think quite often you can easily cut corners when it comes to communications, but it has sometimes a disastrous or really negative effect. And so I think by making sure whenever you're making decisions from a communications point of view, you have that same kind of rigor and real tight decision-making process, I think you'll come out trumps.
There's a couple of things that he mentioned that I picked up on. One was, I like the fact that he was saying, like, he's just being himself, whether it's internal or external. He's saying the same story and transparency. And the thing that I was always told, which he kind of alluded to, was the two ears and one mouth, and use it in that proportion. So, no, really enjoyed it. Listen, if you want to find out more about Exotech, then very simply, their website is exotech.com. We'd love to hear your comments on today's chat. You can do that by sharing them on our Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Twitter feeds, or you can do it in the comments of the YouTube channel version of this podcast. Those are all linked from the top of the website at csuitepodcast.com, where you'll also find all our previous shows and supporting show notes, plus links to where you can follow us for automatic downloads of each episode via the likes of Spotify and Apple. And if you've liked what you heard, please do give us a positive rating and review. We're of course available on all podcast apps. Just search for the C-Suite podcast, hit follow or subscribe. And you can also subscribe to the Without Borders podcast from our partners at Taito. All the details for that are on their website. Just head to taitopr.com and click on the podcast link in the top navbar. You can also download a copy of Growing Without Borders, the Unicorn CEO Guide to Communications and Culture from Taito's website as well. And that is a great overview of the first 15 of our unicorn interviews. If you are a unicorn leader yourself and you'd like to be part of the series, please do get in touch via the contact form on the website at csuitepodcast.com. Plus, of course, anyone can get in touch with any feedback you may have. And finally, you can also reach me directly via Twitter using @RussGoldsmith, or you can find me on LinkedIn. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.